Dear Lord, we come to you today. Thank you for your blessings, and we thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for Sunday that we can come out, just take a break from the world for just a little while and come together with others, Lord, who love you and desire to serve you, Lord. Thank you for your word that we have that we can look into, that we can learn from, and that we can grow from it, Lord. I just pray, Lord, ask you just to help us, Lord, to have an open mind and an open heart about the things that we're learning, Lord, that we can see how you intend for us to function within marriage and within life, Lord. And I just pray that you would guide and direct me and help me to say the things that are needful, Lord. And I just pray that they would be received well. And Lord, just be with those who are still on their way out today, Lord. I pray be with those who aren't able to be with us due to work and travels and different things. And Lord, I pray once again for the children in the back. Lord, help the teachers as they instruct the kids, Lord. I just pray that you would give them open and receptive hearts, Lord, that they would learn about you at an early age, Lord, and that they would come to a saving knowledge of you, young Lord. And I just pray that you would do that needed work in their hearts. Help us as a church to be a light and a witness here. We desire, Lord, for more folks to know you, Lord. And Lord, we just love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so we are continuing our study, our marriage study here. And we are, I think, going to finish today on this section that is called paying in a foreign currency. And so we've been talking about the differences between men and women, and praise God, men and women are different, right? Yeah. And so anyway, we've been talking about the differences, and oftentimes struggles arise in marriage because we are showing love and expecting to receive love in a way that makes sense to us but doesn't make sense to our partner. And so for a man, he typically responds the best to respect. And we find that in Scripture that respect is how he best understands love, that if he feels respected, he feels loved. And for a woman, she needs to feel loved, and that may be a little bit harder for me to for me to verbalize, because a woman is going to feel love in care and concern and safety and security and attention, all these different things, where man, as I said, was respect, right? And so we have different languages that we communicate in, different currencies that we spend in. And I gave the disclaimer at the beginning of our lesson last week, and I think that it's important. I need to do it again. But whenever we are talking about these things, we are looking at them as tools rather than weapons. And if we're not careful, we can take this knowledge and weaponize it against our spouse. And in doing so, we do more harm to our marriage than we do good. And honestly, I think it would have been best if I was able to separate this out and teach it separately between the wives and the husbands, or the females and the males. Okay. And the reason for that is that sometimes whenever we learn what the biblical requirements are for the opposite party, we start holding them to a higher standard, or we start using that against them. And as I said, that is destructive. And so these are tools, not weapons, to be used. And so as we are looking at these, it's not for us to look at our partner and say, you don't measure up, you're failing in this area. Instead, it's for us to use them as a mirror to look back at ourselves and say, okay, how can I improve our marriage? How can I do better? Where am I failing at? Because you can't change the other person. And if you try to, if you look at the other person and you are disappointed, if you are looking at the other person and you are criticizing, they are not going to feel loved. And you're actually going to make things worse. And so what we find is we can do our part in it. And I might have to quiet my children down. Anyway, so I can think. I'm glad they're having a good time. But sometimes my daughters choose loud games. And anyway. So anyway, back to what I was saying there. They must have heard me. Anyway, back to what I was saying a moment ago, that with marriage, if a husband isn't feeling respected, it's going to be hard for him to show love toward his wife. And on the inverse of that, if a woman is not feeling loved, then she is going to tend to act in disrespectful ways toward her husband. And that ends up becoming a vicious cycle. Things get worse and worse and worse. It compounds. And so what ends up happening is whenever you recognize that there is an issue, the person who recognizes it I believe, has the obligation to be the one to put forth the effort. Does that make sense? Because if you constantly wait for the other person to act, then nothing's going to happen, or you're going to become more and more disinterested, more and more upset, right? And so there is a need for, if you realize there's an issue in our marriage, rather than becoming discontent or aggravated about it, say, okay, what can I do in this? What is my part? And I think that's not just for marriage, that's for any type of conflict resolution, which we'll look at later on. But any kind of conflict resolution, if you're constantly focused on the other person's part and putting expectations on the other person, nothing is going to get better. Guaranteed. If this is in a work environment, for instance, if you're looking around and you're disgruntled at everyone else and saying they should be doing this or they should be doing that, rather than saying, how can I contribute? Right? And so that's in any relationship, but especially with a husband and wife. And so if each person is sitting back with their arms crossed and saying, I'll move when you move, doesn't happen. What's going to end up happening? One of them's going to move out the door. And so whenever we're looking at this, we see that all of these things that we're talking about is intended for us to come back to ourselves and evaluate our part in the situation. Okay? So don't make the mistake of looking at this and saying, okay, well, the Bible says the husband is supposed to love the wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and I don't believe you love me that way. That's not going to work. Okay? And he might be saying, I'm trying, and he's trying to love you the best way he knows how, but what he hears is nothing I do is good enough. Okay? And the inverse of that, if she says, or if he says, the Bible says for you to submit to me, and she's over there trying her best, and she's like, he doesn't love me. All right? And so you see where this is destructive. Mm-hmm. So we're taking these things, we're applying them to ourselves, and I believe that if in a marriage, if we would take ownership of our part in the marriage and do what God has laid out, because God obviously knows what he's doing. He's the one that made it all. And so if we look at marriage God's way and say, this is what God said was supposed to be my job in marriage. This is how I'm supposed to show love to my spouse and focus on showing them that way. You'll be surprised about how the other person tends to reciprocate. It may not happen immediately. And by the way, don't just be doing it so that they will respond. Do it regardless of whether or not they respond. Do it because it's right. Okay? And a lot of times it takes a good while to dig out of the hole that you've been dug into. And so problems don't disappear overnight. And that's within any relationship. Okay, so what we looked at last week, we looked at the husband's currency is respect. And so the things that we saw that, let's see, I'm on the wrong page here. Okay, we're looking at currency conversions. And so the ways that a wife can demonstrate respect is by giving genuine acceptance, by supporting his decisions, by being his recreational partner, praying for his success. Okay. And that was one of them, I think, is quite important because foreshadowing, we'll be looking at prayer in the second service, but prayer helps to change your perspective. And so the way that you're thinking and the way that you're praying is going to change your attitude. It's going to change how you view things. And so if you're praying for their successes more than you're praying for their failures, you're going to feel more a partnership with them. You're going to be going the same direction and you're going to be cheering them on rather than sitting back and saying, God, fix them because they're a mess and I can't do anything about it. Okay. And then the last thing we saw is praise them privately and publicly because there's plenty that's being done to tear down. And if a wife is there building up her husband, it's going to enable him to be a better man. And it's going to empower him to face struggles and make changes and tackle even his own defects whenever he knows that his wife is in his corner and cheering him on. Okay. And so now we're going to be looking at how a man can demonstrate love for his wife. And so I want to go ahead and turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, just because I like to start out with scripture. And we're going to read Ephesians 5, starting with verse number 25. And I know I've already quoted part of this verse. Okay. Ephesians 5, verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And so we'll stop there. But in looking at this, we are seeing that the man is to demonstrate love to his wife. Not only that, but I think we can draw from this passage that it is a man's responsibility to take headship, to take leadership in this position. Because we see here that the relationship that it is drawing, the illustration, I guess, that's being used is Christ and the church. And we see that Christ is the one that took initiative. Christ is the one that began things. He's the one that put the ball in motion. He is the one that begins things, right? He's the one that takes responsibility. And I think that is also something that comes down to the relationship between a husband and a wife, that the man should take the initiative, the man should take the responsibility, that the man, as the Bible says, is in a place of headship, which means that he is more accountable, right? And so whenever it comes to the relationship between the husband and wife, practically speaking, a lot of times men can be oblivious, right? Mm-hmm. The women are more in agreement than the men. We don't like to admit to this, right? The men can be oblivious. Oftentimes the woman spots the issues, spots what's wrong before the man does. And I think that's a sad thing, because the man, as the head of the home, should have his finger on the pulse of the home and the family, the relationship. And so I believe there is a responsibility and accountability for the man to be paying attention to the most important things in his life, which is his family. Oftentimes we're well aware of everything that's going on at the job. We're well aware of things that are going on in different areas that we're interested in, but we can be oblivious in the most important area, and that's in the home. Okay? And so I think there's an emphasis here for the man to be taking initiative, for him to be taking ownership, if you will, and saying, I want to make sure that my family is healthy, that my marriage is healthy, that we're going in a right direction. And so I'm going to, as the phrase goes, I'm going to man up and do what is necessary to make sure that my family does well, that my marriage does well, that my wife feels loved. Okay? So even as we look at this passage, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now we know how God's word has an effect on his church, a cleansing effect on the believer. We're not talking about here that the husband is supposed to read scripture to his wife and somehow that's going to fix her, okay, or fix the relationship. But I believe that it comes down to his words, to the way that he is speaking to her and speaking of her, to the communication they have one with another is going to have a huge effect on her emotional state, on her spiritual state, on her health in the relationship. And so as Christ is taking the responsibility for the cleansing by his words to his or to the church, I think the man takes responsibility by how he is treating his wife, for her to be, I guess I've said this in the past, that if the wife is in a bad state, it's probably the husband's fault. And that's hard for us as husbands to hear, okay? And this is where it comes back to the man's initiative, that the man has a responsibility to care for his family, okay? If we take this and remove it from the husband-wife context, and your children are struggling, okay? You can't say, well, that's their fault, right? They're a mess. They're just bad kids, right? No. And I think any parent that's worth anything, whenever their kids are struggling, they're going to be turning the mirror to themselves and saying, What can I do? Where did I go wrong? Where have I let down? We do that with our children, right? Because we understand that relationship, that we are to care for our children, that we're caring for their well-being. But then whenever it comes to the husband and wife's relationship, if there's something wrong, it's the other person's fault. Okay? And by the way, women, do not weaponize this against your husbands. I want to emphasize this over and over again. And if you're sitting there, you know, thinking about all the things that your husband has wrong, that's not right. Okay? So like I said, it might be better if I could separate and so the husbands are hearing the husband part. But that's not what we're doing. So I'm expecting more maturity out of you guys, I guess, to be able to pass these things up and not implode your marriages. Okay? Okay, back on track. So under our heading of demonstrating love, because if I stick in Ephesians 5, I'll be there all day. Demonstrating love, letter B, in your outline if you still have it. Here we have five ways that a husband can communicate love to his wife. Good morning. Five ways that a husband can communicate love to his wife. Good, the husband statistics are going up in here. We've got more men now. But anyway, I think a lot of times men don't put a whole lot of thought into this, okay? And we really should. This is important, okay? And so a lot of times we are just kind of falling into our roles that society has put upon us, and maybe culture has put upon us, and we're saying, okay, I want to do the things that society says makes me a good husband. And so you go out, and we've talked about this already, but you're going out to be the good provider. You know, you're working the job, you're paying the bills, you're doing all of these things, and feel as if that is enough. But our first priority is not making sure that the lights are on or that the house is paid for, but it's making sure that our family, and especially our wives, are well. Okay? And so, demonstrating love, five ways a husband can communicate love to his wife. The first one, and this is going to sound simple, but this is going to make a little bit more sense even. But the first one is seek to understand her. Now, the common joke, I guess we could say, is that women are impossible to understand. And some of that can be because they are speaking a different language. They're operating on a different currency, right? And typically, women are more emotional, and men don't really understand emotion real well. And so that can come across as hard to understand and hard to please, can it? But I think a lot of it also comes with just stereotypes and all of these different things that we've seen, be it in entertainment, television, different things. And it's made it out as if it's almost a game or something goofy or funny that's just, hey, this is the way it is. We're going to accept it. And it's almost that we've taken that and we've given ourselves a pass. Right? And I don't believe that is right for us. Whenever we talk about this idea of seeking to understand her, that means that we are still learning about her. We're still paying attention to her. We are thinking about her. We are considering her. Because if we go back to whenever we were dating, we were interested in everything about her, right? You want to know when her birthday is. You want to know what kind of flowers she likes. You want to know what kind of places she likes to eat and what she was doing in her time when you were away. And you're interested in her life. You're interested in her as a person. And then you get married and you lose interest, right? And so it's not so much that women are so hard to understand, but sometimes just that we quit pursuing and quit trying, right? And so this is supposed to be a lifelong pursuit of becoming one, as we've talked about in the past, of studying one another, of learning about one another, because whenever you are doing that, it is communicating care and concern. It's communicating an interest in that person. And what a woman feels whenever you are showing interest in her, whenever you are learning about her, whenever you are asking about her, is he actually cares. Just to illustrate this a little bit, one of the stereotypes or one of the big laugh lines, if you will, is men forget the anniversaries, forget the birthdays and all that kind of stuff, right? And then the woman is heartbroken because he forgot our anniversary. We've all seen that trope in TV and in movies, right? But why is that a common stereotype or common trope? Because what that communicates is he is not paying attention to anything about her. He doesn't care enough about something that she is interested in. Something that is important to her is not important to him. And therefore, she feels as if she is not important to him. That make sense? Mm-hmm. Now, granted, men typically aren't as big onto the holidays and the anniversaries and the birthdays and all that kind of stuff. And it might be different from couple to couple. But that's just an example. That's just a trope that's out there. Because if he doesn't even care enough to remember our anniversary, or if when the anniversary comes around, he gets something and is like, does he even know me? There's no way. I don't even like, I'm allergic to that. You know? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So with those kind of little things, remember, we're talking about practical stuff, right? And so whenever he is doing things like that or not doing things like that, it communicates a lack of concern, a lack of care to her, and she feels unloved. Okay? And so get to know your wife. Study what her needs are, as well as her likes, her dislikes, and her preferences. How she drinks her coffee, right? Do you know your wife's coffee order? Okay. Strong tea. There you go. It's good whenever they keep it simple, right? Now, with the current trend in coffees and stuff, it might be difficult to remember the order. It might be this long. But anyway, I know with Les, she just changed the way that she makes her coffee this week. She found a different recipe for how she makes it at home. And generally on Sunday mornings, I wake up and I go downstairs, I make both of us coffee, take it to her while she's getting ready, and then I sit down and I look over all my notes and pray and different things to get ready for church. And so this morning I went downstairs, I started the kettle, I went to make the coffee, and I'm like, I know she changed the way that she's making her coffee. And so I had to go upstairs and ask, I was like, okay, what is your recipe now? Okay, so she walked me through it, I went downstairs, I made her coffee, just the way she said, I took it to her, I said, okay, try it. And she tried it. She's like, yep, tastes right. Okay, good. Got it now. Okay. And so that's just kind of a funny anecdote on it, but, learn things like this, learn the kind of places that she likes. Specifically, we talked about anniversary. What kind of things would she like for it? I guess this is maybe another trope as well, is the guy doing things that he wants to do and dragging her along, not realizing that she has no interest in these things. Now, this goes both ways, because sometimes the wife is going to go along on things that the husband likes just because she wants to spend time with him. But if the husband's like, I planned a holiday for us, we're going to get away, you're going to love this, and he takes her camping and she can't stand to be outside. Right? And so if he's like, oh, I'm going to do this for you, I planned something for you, and then, you know, you take your vegan wife to a steakhouse. It's like, how long have we been married and you don't realize I don't eat meat? Come on, man. So we learn their likes, their dislikes. In 1 Peter chapter 3, morning. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. I won't go ahead and turn over there because the entire passage is not in our handout. Okay, 1 Peter 3, verse 7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so with this verse, it brings a couple important things out, but it says, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Well, what does that mean for us? It means that we're going to learn the things they like and the things they don't like. And the things that they like, we do. The things that they don't like, we don't do. Right? And just as an example on this one, years ago, I worked for my father-in-law. Okay? And my father-in-law loves to irritate his wife. Okay? And so we're talking in the vehicle, And he's talking about something that he's going to do and how much it's going to irritate her. And so I asked him, I said, why do you do things that you know irritate your wife? So one of these days she's going to kick you out. She hasn't yet. But anyway, I said, the Bible tells us, dwell with them according to knowledge. If you know it bothers her, don't do it. That's a simple enough premise, isn't it? And I guess in just getting extremely practical with that, whenever we think about our roles in the home, okay, there are things that men are going to do that are going to drive their wives batty. Okay? And oftentimes it's simple things that would be extremely easy behaviors to change and give her a lot of peace of mind and comfort, but we refuse to do it. Right? You know, picking up your clothes out of the bathroom floor. I might be striking nerves this morning, but these are practical. And she comes in day after day. How hard is it to pick it up and put it in the basket? Have you had that conversation?
Yes.
Okay. You want to know a really good way to communicate love to your wife? Listen to what she says there and say, how hard is it for me to bend over and pick this up and put it in there? And it will blow her mind. Especially, I mean, that is extremely easy for you to bend over and put it, but every time that she sees it there, the reason she gets so angry about this, it's not about the trousers. It's not about the clothes. Okay? She says he doesn't care. I'm here cleaning the house. I'm here taking care of I'm doing all these things. And he comes in like the king of the castle. He just throws his stuff everywhere. Just expects me to clean up after him. He doesn't care. Okay? But if you listen and you say, okay, this is something that bothers her. This is going to mean a lot to her if I just do something as simple as picking this up and putting it in the basket. Communicates love. And we don't think about this kind of stuff, do we? But this is simple. They're easy things, but it's taking the mental note of, okay, I'm going to get out of my own little world for a minute. I'm going to consider her for a second, and I can make her life easier in this way. Whenever she's running around chasing the kids and she's absolutely wore out, and you say, you know, I could get off of my butt and help her with this, right? And make her life a little bit easier. That communicates love to her, okay? All the women say amen, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's simple things like this. We are learning about their likes and their dislikes, their preferences and different things. And it can be something just as simple as realizing, hey, I know she really likes this. So next time I'm at the shop buying something for me, I'm going to get something for her and let her know I was thinking about her and bring it home. Something simple. Doesn't have to be, you know, a dozen roses or anything. And by the way, if she hates roses, don't buy roses. Learn what kind of flower she likes. Okay? But these are all simple ways to communicate love to the wife. And so both positive and negative, but what you're doing is you are learning, you are studying, you are figuring these things out. How can I do things that show her that I'm thinking about her through the day, that I'm valuing her, that I'm listening whenever she says something? Another one of the common tropes is nagging. The wife is always nagging. Okay? We've all heard that?
Yes.
Where that often comes from is that the man isn't actually paying attention to what she is saying, doesn't actually care enough about the things that she's concerned about. And usually it's not the thing that she's actually talking about that's the problem. It's the way that you're not caring about it makes her feel. Okay? And so she says things over and over and over again, and she's like, he doesn't even listen to me. He doesn't care about what I said. He doesn't care that this is bothering me. He's got his own things going on. Right? Now the inverse of this, because I've already picked on the men. Okay? Whenever he does do something that is, whenever he does do something that you like or that makes you feel special or appreciated, be careful of your response. He finally picks up his trousers out of the floor, puts them in the basket, and you say, now, was that hard? What does that communicate to him? I finally did something for her, and look at how she responded. Slap in the face. Disrespected. Right? And so whenever he's doing something and he's actually taking initiative, he's actually showing something, you're going to receive more of what you reward. Is that a good way to say it? By the way, this goes with your children as well and other relationships. But you're going to receive more of what you reward. And so if there is something that he's doing that you like, something that makes you feel good, something that you appreciate, then respond in a positive manner to that, you'll get more of it. Everybody's getting quiet on me. Okay. Maybe I need to move on. Was that a yes or no?
I wasn't
supposed to
be behind me.
Okay. So anyway, seek to understand her. It doesn't say that you'll ever fully understand her, but make it a lifelong mission of learning more and more about her and being able to minister to her in better ways. Okay? Any questions or comments on that section? Okay. Number two, take initiative in spiritual matters. Take initiative in spiritual matters. A husband's leadership in the home isn't just about financial decisions. It is to be spiritual leadership as well. Unfortunately, whenever it comes to spiritual matters, I guess culture, society, this isn't just, I can't say culture or society. This is like a global thing, mm-hmm. I believe, that they have almost relegated spiritual things being the woman's part. Okay. Have you guys seen that? You guys understand what I'm talking about there? Okay.
Vast majority of people here are women.
Okay. So, and we're much more balanced in a lot of places, okay? You go to a lot of churches in the States. I know I've definitely seen this. And women are going to be the main ones showing up. And a lot of times women are going to be the ones taking initiative. And that's not a good thing. Because what we find is that God intends for the man to be the leader, the man to be the head, right? And I understand whenever the man has obligations and responsibilities, so there's crazy work schedules and stuff to where sometimes the man can't be here. Okay, but that's not what we're talking about just in showing up in church. I'm talking about showing up at home as well and actually showing spiritual leadership in the family. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, what we read there a moment ago, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And so once again, we're seeing the man taking the leadership. He's taking the headship so that it, from a top-down approach, okay, he is taking the initiative, and it's making it a difference in his whole home, okay? It's going to be hard for a woman to respect a man that won't lead, especially when it comes to spiritual matters, okay? If she feels like she's doing his job, okay, it's going to bring resentment.
Yeah. Okay, there's, you mentioned that it's important that the man listens to, a woman, mm-hmm. tries to do as she says, mm-hmm. and that's going to make her happy. But there's a twist to that. They say that sometimes when the man does what the woman really wants, you realize that his actions of listening to her is not rewarded. Mm-hmm. Where it becomes like, okay, he does exactly what I want ask him to do, but now I'm bored at him. Mm-hmm. For losing that leadership that I crave from him. To a point where, okay, now he only does what I ask him to do. Mm-hmm. And it looks like by that, he's no longer the leader that I want him to be. I don't know that you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So you listen to her. She says you want it done this way. You say, oh, you are more considerate of her, following her lead. Then the woman now become almost like the leader in the relationship where he's no longer leading. Mm-hmm. He's no longer using that having that fantasy in the relationship. Mm-hmm. But now the kind of control switches to the woman. And most of the times the men will not have problem with the woman had the last say, but it ended up that to the point where she now become bored, kind of. Okay? Mm-hmm. But the man has become the one I want to change him to become, but I am bored at the result I'm seeing. I don't know whether you understand the twist I am talking about. I don't know whether you get it.
Oh, this is where...
So, kind of, when it happens that men get confused, you know? We end up getting confused. Is it right related to what she wants?
Mm-hmm.
And would that make her happy long term? Or as I do what she wants, she gets bored at the result of what she's seeing, and then she becomes something else.
Well, everything that you just said there is the man abdicated the role of leadership. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so what the first point was with learning about her isn't meaning that you become subservient to her or that she becomes the head of the leadership. What we're talking about is learning what makes her feel loved and valued, learning the things that she likes and she doesn't like. And it doesn't mean that you're going to do everything the way that she wants you to do it. That comes back to ultimately putting things in the right perspective. Is God is the head. His word is the guide. We submit to it first. And being the man is doing what is right for our family according to God's word. And sometimes it's doing hard things. It's not being one to bow to every whim and let her have the reins in the home and let her have it. I'm not talking about, okay, she's saying, well, you need to lead this way, and so I'm going to do it because I'm learning about her and she wants me to lead this way. Well, I need to lead the way that God would have me to. And so I guess there's a line that needs to be drawn here. There's a difference between knowing her preferences, her likes and her dislikes, how she takes her coffee and which side of the bed she sleeps on, and you know what perfume is her favorite, and actually taking the place of leadership and doing what you're supposed to do as a husband. Okay? So there's a difference there. I'm not saying that you do everything the way that she wants you to do it. Okay? Because there's a difference between how you show love to her and how you lead. Okay? And so part of showing love and leading sometime is going to be doing things that, you know, drawing a line and saying, this is what's right. This is what I need to do. And so I guess this really, this taking initiative and leading in spiritual matters is going to balance out the previous point.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be saying, I believe God would have me to do this. I answer to God and I'm accountable to God for this. And this isn't a power play against the wife. She's like, I really want to do this, but God says this. And so you got to do this because a lot of people throw God's name around just to use him to strong arm someone else. It's almost like whenever the girls were growing up that if they didn't like what their sister was doing, they'd say, Dad said, right? Or Mom said, just as a dumb illustration that's not related to marriage. In one of the churches that Les and I, the one that we're sent out of, they were without a pastor for a while. And there was a preacher that was within the church that they initially approached and said, would you be interested in taking the pastor of the church? And he says, it's not God's will for me to do that. That's not what God has for me to do. And they said, okay, you've told us it's not God's will, so duly noted. Okay? And then later on, he got mad because he changed his mind. Okay? And the reason I'm bringing that out is he basically used God said or God's will as an excuse at first. But if it's not God's will for him to do this, then we're not going to go against God. You already said this, right? And so he got angry about it. And so we kind of dodged a bullet on that one. Okay? But whenever it comes to matters of marriage and things, we can't use God as a strong arm tactic against our spouse. That's not leadership. Okay? But leadership is sometimes making the hard decision and doing what's right, even if you're going to catch some flack for it. Okay? And so I don't know if I fully addressed your concerns there, but caring for your wife, showing you care, learning about your wife, doesn't mean that you don't have a backbone and you hand over your spine. Okay? It means that you are actively looking at her, considering her, thinking about her in the decisions that you're making. Okay? And sometimes you're going to make decisions for her good that she may not be happy with. But you are looking and saying, what is best for our family? What is best for us? And you're making those decisions with her in mind, with her best interest in mind, rather than just unilaterally going through and saying, this is what I want. By golly, I'm going to have it. Okay?
I have a tag-on question to that.
Okay.
I think that's where his concern comes from. From a non-married person looking into a lot of married couples, what it seems like is a lot of women foresight what is to come. Okay, the kids are going back to school in September, so I'm thinking about what the options are, this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time the conversation comes around, it ultimately becomes, my wife said this is the right option. And I think over time, what we do see is men are often really passive, and their wife is the leader of the relationship. But what it seems like to me is a lot of men don't foresight, like they're not, like, and I think women will future plan.
Yeah.
We're considering all these things until she brings it up in conversation of like, the kids are going back to school now, I've been thinking about this. And then he's like, oh yeah, you completely thought about this, this makes sense, go ahead. So how, because I think it still goes back to that question then of like, for a man to lead,
mm-hmm.
he does, and I think that's why God is so important, and like being submitted to God as a man is so mm-hmm. important. Otherwise, how do you foresee what is to come? You know,
yes.
How do you go and see your secret place of prayer, and God is going, you should be considering your family ahead in this, that, and the other, and you're not just thinking about like, oh, we're good now, but like the future, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me think here.
That's what it looks like from the outset.
Okay. Well, one thing. Next week we're getting into communication. Anyway, but we realize whenever we look at marriage, there are marriage roles. Whenever we think about leadership, a good leader can delegate. Okay? And so with the example of things that go on in the home, oftentimes the husband looks at this and says, this is the wife's role. I'm entrusting her with this. And we talked about, I think, last week about respect. One of the ways that a husband receives love is respect. And whenever he sees the wife as capable and he says, I've entrusted her with this and I'm letting her run with this, he's communicating respect to her. And he's saying, I love her, I trust her, I know she knows what she's doing, and I'm allowing her to take responsibility for making sure the kids are clothed, making sure they're fed, taking care of the school things. And that's her realm, because generally the woman is the caretaker, the one that holds relationships together and takes those kind of, oftentimes she's going to be the planner. And so if he can look at his wife and say, she is absolutely capable, she knows what she can do, she's better at this than I am, I'm entrusting this to you. That's not an abdicating of responsibility, that's a delegating of responsibility. And this is a partnership of husband and wife coming together. And she's like, hey, I know you're really good with this and I'm really good with this. And so we're going to confer together. We're going to talk about it. But ultimately, he's going to trust her judgment in this.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. I think for most women, that would feel like an abdication, because I doubt many men would then like, you know, like if your manager gives you a task and work, they usually would follow up with, how's that going? Is it completed?
Mm-hmm.
Et cetera, et cetera. Where mm-hmm. from the relationships I've seen, most of the guy, if they think it's the woman's role.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say something there?
Yeah.
Can I disagree? Mm-hmm. I agree it's delegation.
Mm. No, I think it's delegation.
Yeah.
I do agree.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, from what I've seen,
mm-hmm.
a lot of men, the delegation then means they don't necessarily then follow up. So then to a lot of women,
okay. We
would receive it.
Okay. One second. This goes back, we talked about last week, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this, it all comes down to what this section is about. And it's the currency conversion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because he's looking at it as, I trust her,
mm-hmm.
I love her, I show respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that he would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's looking at it as, he's not with me on this process. He's not checking in.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care. And so there's a breakdown in communication.
Yes.
And so that's why we're going through this, is for the woman, it's, okay, he has delegated this to me. He is entrusting me with this. That's a way that he's showing his love for me. And it's for the man to say, she needs a little bit of interaction in these areas. Don't leave her to do it by herself, because while you see it as respect, she sees it as disinterest. Okay.
As a father of three children, obviously I have, as you say, delegated her to choose which schools they go to, and that form of educational mm-hmm. background is all her doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it as like, I'm just like, I don't care, you just do it. I just think she knows more than I do. I truly sit here and I think, if I choose, I'm a math brain kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
I will choose a school because it's closest. I will choose a school because it's the easiest route towards my work, and it makes sense for our family for ease. Well, she will think about the children's education. She'll think about things that probably matter more in the long run. So that is why I've given it to her as the role. Not given it, it just happened naturally. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I think it just is a natural thing, isn't it? And I think it's through time. Because I'd say, like, right in the beginning of our relationship, I would have been like, he should be checking in more. Whereas now it's like you become like a well-oiled machine. Like,
mm-hmm.
you kind of like, you naturally will gravitate to more jobs, and that's not necessarily saying that he doesn't care. And I think it just depends on your relationship and who you are and what you like to check in. Because there's certain things where I'm like, I don't need you to check in. Like, whereas it's the same for you.
When you're young, you probably don't care. Which just sounds stupid. Like, obviously, that's why they say don't have children young. But I did have children. I did have children very young, obviously. But, and because all you're thinking about when you're young and you have a kid, you're like, oh, money. Because
yeah.
that's it. So you don't care. Not because you don't care, but it's because you've got priorities.
Yeah.
But like she said, as you get older, machine, then you start to think about who's
yeah.
better at what. And so, yeah, I agree with delegation.
Well, and you're highlighting a very, very big distinction between how men and women typically work.
Mm-hmm.
Because men are going to be very practical. They're going to be looking at the specifics, like you said, how far is the school away? What's the tuition cost? What time does the stuff start? Do the buses run? And you know, you're going to be looking at all of those things, but the woman's going to be looking at emotional needs and social needs and, you know, what's best for the child developmentally and all these things, because we function differently. We look at different things. And that's why there's a necessity for men and women to come together. That's why the Bible says that they are to come together and be one flesh. That's why God said it's not good for man to be alone. I'll provide a help that's meet for him. In other words, I'm going to put the other half to this. And that's why there needs to be balance there, and needs to be a husband and wife functioning as a unit. Because if you're not, and this comes down to communication, which I was planning on looking at next week, but we're only on number two. Anyway, which is fine. But anyway, if we are functioning two different ways, if she's, you know, thinking with her heart and he's thinking with his head, and he's seeing these things and she's seeing these things, and you're pulling in separate directions rather than meshing the two of them together to come with the right solution,
mm-hmm.
that's where a lot of the problems come in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're looking at things from two different perspectives. An illustration that came to my mind just now, I watched a video. This is like a psychological experiment or whatever. And they had two guys, and they were on opposite sides of a table, and they were looking at the same ball, okay? And they asked the two guys, what color is the ball? And the guy on the left said it's black, and the guy on the right said that it – the guy on the right – I had the wrong hands. The guy on the right said it's black, and the guy on the left said it's white. And they got angry at each other. And he's like, what are you doing? Are you messing with my head? It is very clearly black. No, are you stupid? It's white. Are you colorblind? And they got angry. And he said, okay, now close your eyes for a minute. And he turned the table around. And he said, now look. And whenever he turned the table around, he saw from the other guy's perspective. And the guy on the right said, huh, his side was white. His side was black. And it was one ball, but half and half. And so from their perspective, that was completely different picture. And they got angry at each other because they were dealing with a different set of facts. They were dealing with a different perspective. And I think that's oftentimes how things work within marriages, is that we're seeing things from two different perspectives. And rather than seeing the person as a different person with a different mind, with a different way of looking at things, and, you know, bringing those together and learning from them and coming up with a good solution, we end up seeing ourselves as enemies rather than allies. Okay? And so that's where we need to get back to. And so I guess coming full circle, the concern was, if I do all of these things trying to do what my wife is pleased with and the things that she likes, then she's going to end up basically being the leader of this, and I'm not going to be the one. I think you're approaching that, for one thing, with assumptions. You're looking at it basically with the attitude that it's doomed to failure, and you're playing with without all the facts, I guess I could say. Because coming back to the very beginning of all of these lessons that we've looked at, the man and the woman needs to be on the same page. They need to be one flesh. They need to be going the same direction. They need to be having the same desires. And if they don't, if they are mismatched in their desire, you can't be projecting on the other person and saying, if I do this, they're going to do that. And no, you look at yourself and say, what is my part in this? And so function with your part, your role in mind, regardless of the other person's. Make sure that you're doing your part, okay? And so as we're looking at this, say, okay, I want to show her that I love her. And I understand that she feels love a different way than I do. So I'm going to be doing things that let her know that I care, that I'm thinking about her, that I want to make her feel special. And I'm going to do these things for her to communicate love to her. Okay? And then, as we said, the second one here that we got started on, taking initiative in spiritual matters, that means I'm going to take seriously the role that God has given me, and I want to lead my family closer to Him. Okay? I want to prioritize spiritual things. I want to set the tone for my home till my children know that God's important to our family, that my children know that we pray, that my children know that we are in God's word. I want them to see me pursuing after God. And that's going to bring respect and appreciation from the wife, because if she sees you spending time in God's word, if she knows that you are a man of prayer, if you are taking leadership and pointing your children to God, if you are taking leadership and getting out of bed and coming to church and making that a priority, then that's going to be communicating that he's serious about the role of head of the home. It's not just making decisions, but it is living in such a way that I'm going to be right with God, no matter if any of the rest of my family is or not. I'm going to be pursuing God. I'm going to be setting that pattern for all of my household. We find Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's the idea of taking spiritual initiative in spiritual matters. It's not waiting for the wife to drag the husband to church, or not the wife saying, okay, well, I'm going to read my Bible while he's watching sports. Okay. But it's the husband taking initiative and saying, I'm going to be right with God. I want my family to know that God's important. I want them to know that God's first. And this comes back to what we've talked about often, that the closer we get to God, the closer we get to our spouse. Okay. And it needs to be both people pursuing after God. This is where the Bible says that we're to be not be unequally yoked. Okay, I saw this very close up and very personal for me. Whenever one person is getting closer to God and the other person has no concern for God, it doesn't work well. I saw that with my parents, because my dad pursued after God. My dad tried to initiate family devotions. He tried for us to pray together. He took us to church. And he tried to drag my mom along with that, and she wouldn't come. She had no interest. I don't know if she was even saved, okay? And so at that time, I saw this as a child growing up, and I saw Dad, the closer he got to God, the further she got from him. And that's part of what contributed to their divorce, that and the affair. But anyway. So anyway.
Sorry, could that be yeah, a cultural thing, because from an Irish perspective, most men are more concerned about their work, their occupation, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole load when the four walls of the house is left to the wife.
Right, and that's where we're trying to correct on this, because culture and society usually has the wrong view on things. And so the man says, okay, I want to take care of what's outside the walls. You take care of what's inside the walls, including the education of the children and the spiritual well-being of the children. And the woman ends up being the one that takes the kids to church. She ends up being the one to teach them the Bible story. She ends up being the one to pattern a Christian walk before them. And what we see that happens as a result of that, statistics back this up, by the way, okay? Because I don't have the statistics in my head at the moment. I don't have them before me either. But if a child grows up with a mom that attends church and is involved in church and takes them to church, they have like a small percent chance of ending up being faithful, serving in church as an adult. But if the dad is leading in that area, insanely higher percentage chance that the child ends up serving the Lord. Okay? And so there's a huge difference between the mom's example and the dad's example in that. And I think that comes back to what we're talking about here, that the man takes initiative in spiritual matters. He's leading the family to God. Okay? It's one thing we see with the example of the Philippian jailer. And this might not be the greatest example, but with the Philippian jailer, he's the one that had Paul and Silas locked up. They were singing and praising God at midnight. The earthquake came, the cells came open, and the Philippian jailer sprang in, and he said, at first he was going to kill himself because he thought the prisoners escaped. Paul says, do yourself no harm, we're all here. And he came and fell down on their feet and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They share the gospel with him, he believes upon Christ, and he takes them, he washes their stripes. And it says that he was baptized and his family with him. And so you've got like the Catholic Church and different ones that say, okay, his family was baptized, there was babies there, and that's why they get infant baptism. But anyway, that's beside the point. But what I see in this is I see the father leading his household. And we see that commonplace in a lot of ancient cultures such as we've seen there. Because the man was in a place of leadership, the family had a reverence and respect for him. And wherever the father led, the family's like, okay, if dad's on it, good enough for me. Okay? And so they follow that pattern. And I think that's something that we need to get back to as well. Okay? Oh my, I don't have time to finish this. Okay, so yeah, it's a great conversation. I'm glad for it. It's very important, I believe. But I wasn't anticipating that this would be the section that we would get hung up on for 5 weeks. But anyway, it's good stuff. Does anyone have any questions or comments on what we're looking at so far?
Yeah, I was just going to point out part of the reason I think we have a lack of spiritual leadership from men in the home is because they have it hard. Like, they have this goes back to your delegation thing. Ultimately, the most important roles, as I see it, for the father in the home and the husband in the home is the provision, physical provision, the financial, the home, blah, blah, blah. But also, probably more important is the spiritual provision, but they're so tired that it's, you know, and it's such a, we live in such a busy world that it's very easy to focus more on the actual physical provision, which unfortunately is important, and then the delegation goes too far. You know, you see it in quite a lot of families. So, and also because women are generally more spiritually inclined anyway, they're happy to take over.
Yeah.
But just your statistics there are spot on. It's so important. The dads take the time to lead their family, pray with their children, and be a godly example. So much more important. I mean, I do know of families where the wife, you know, has been the same person. The Judas mother, remember her? The wife was saved, the husband wasn't really that pushed. And of the six kids, I think only two came to the Lord, something like that. So it's hugely important, to remember that there. The importance in leading their families spiritually. well as
To add to that, I also think that when men are growing up, the ideals that we are shown, especially for those, even if you're in a religious setting, because I grew up in a very religious setting, usually the things that you'll see like in TV and movies and culture and people that you think are like fatherly figures or whatever, is that work, make sure that the family's taken care of. And it's very rare that you will have people like, I can't name any names right now, but people that would be like in a famous position that would tell men specifically, be the head of your family through God.
Yeah.
It's not that, I actually don't think I can name more than two people that I've ever seen in public setting to ever say, lead your family through God as a man, ever.
Well, I know that there are several that have.
Of course.
But usually they're not, they don't receive any airtime saying those kind of things. It's not popular.
Yeah. So.
But back to what we were saying there, what she brought up, I think, was she was talking about how difficult it is a lot of times for men to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this comes back to what we looked at last week whenever a good way for a woman to show respect to her husband is by following his lead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I think a lot of times men fail to lead because they get tired of trying to drag their family behind them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think sometimes, and maybe I'm getting off track on this, but back to the example I said of my parents growing up, okay? My dad tried to lead in spiritual matters and got so beat down with people not following, with it being a struggle every time. He's like, okay, we need to come together for family prayer, and everybody's grumbling, everybody's complaining, and he's got to force them along. He's just like, forget it. And I watched him do that, and I asked him later on, I said, what made you stop doing this? And he said, I just got tired of having to force everyone to do it. And now that's not giving a pass or anything, because sometimes being a man and being the leader and being the father is doing the hard things. But if you want a husband to lead, then you have to be willing to follow. Okay? Anything else? Okay. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. And maybe we'll finish this section next week. Okay. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for all the conversation and the input, Lord. And Lord, I know this is such an important topic, Lord, and I pray that it's beneficial. It's helpful to be getting these things out. And Lord, I just pray you minister to each couple, Lord. I pray that you would help them, Lord, to move closer to you and closer to one another, Lord, and that we could have strong marriages, that we could heal hurts, Lord, and that we could just show the coming generation, Lord, really how it's done. And Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you do. And at least I pray in Jesus' name, amen.